Well, hello, friends. We are singing here. We're ready to do more hymns together at Sac Central Church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, right here. We're glad you're tuning in. I don't know where you're listening or watching, but the Lord knows. So let's grab your hymn. If you have to go downstairs or go grab it, please grab your phone or hymn. And let's sing together 185. This is a request from John from California, United States. So thank you, John, for choosing a really good hymn. It's Jesus is all the world to me. Is it for you too? I hope your answer is yes. So let's sing together all four stanzas. Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus is also your friend as well as he is our friend. And we want to encourage you to please continue signing up and looking for more hymns that we can sing together. You just have to go to our main website, www.sexcentral.org, and click on hymn request. And you'll just write your name, where you're writing us from, and the number of the hymn. So for our last but not least will be 529, Under His Wings. This is a request from Jose Lopez da Silva, all the way from Brazil. Good morning, feliz sábado. I'm glad you guys are also watching us all over there. And we're going to be singing all three stanzas, so Under His Wings.
Thank you. child under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can serve her. Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abiding forever. Under his wings, what a refuge and sorrow, how the heart yearningly turns to its rest. Often when earth has no enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe livable. Under his wings, under his wings, so shall abide, safely abide forever.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Under your wings, Heavenly Father, we are surely secure. Nothing else in this world can protect us from our evilness. And you want us to be light. And you want to continue blessing us by the study of this world, this word, your word. And I ask that you can pour your Holy Spirit on my brother, Bona. And then prepare our hearts and know that you're soon coming. I ask and thank you for everything. In Jesus I pray. Amen. Our speaker for today is Brother Bona Purba. Today is the lesson number 11, the Book of the Mark. May you have a blessed Sabbath, and thanks for singing with us.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, church. So happy to see everyone in the church, in the sanctuary, and for those joining us wherever you are, and however you're tuning in and following the lessons this Sabbath, I would like to welcome you. Happy Sabbath. I hope God's blessing will be upon us all. And this Sabbath, we will be studying the Word of God. And if you'd like to have the copy of the CD or DVD, you can call us at this phone number. It's 916-457-6511. And also you can email us at csh@saccentral.org. And please refer to offer number C as in Charlie 202-437. And give us a little information about yourself, your name, your address. We will be happy to send the CD or DVD to your address. And this Sabbath, we are going to be studying lesson number 11. The title is Taken and Tried. So if you learn this Sabbath, this whole week, we are going to be covering the book of Mark, the end of the chapter, and final days of Jesus' life. So as you may know, chapter 14 and 16, 14 through 16 in Mark, are known as the passion narratives. And because why? Because they are describing the suffering, death, and also the resurrection of Jesus. Now, the main focus of this week's lesson, number 11, is only covering chapter 14. And beginning with the fifth sandwich story. Now, you may have remember the meaning of the sandwich story is that it start off with certain theology lesson at the beginning, but then it covers something else. And then it closes up with the opening that's already been started. So that's why it's called the sandwich story. Now, it started with the fifth sandwich story and interlinked two opposite action related to Jesus Christ. And then it's followed with the story of the Last Supper. The Last Supper is also talking about Jesus' struggle in Gethsemane. And then he arrested and taken before the leaders to be tried. And so with this, it's going to be ending up the sixth and the last of the sandwich story in the book of Mark. Now, the writer of this Sabbath school lesson is forming up six sandwich story. However, some theologians out there, they're forming up a few different sandwich stories. But it is really interesting, and God has a plan for us through these lessons. There's a valuable lesson that we're going to be taking up from lesson number 11. We will be covering about unforgettable things that happening to Jesus. And one of the lessons we'll be covering that unforgettable things that's happening. And then also we'll be covering the Last Supper, what's happening there, and who's involved in the Last Supper, and then we'll be dig deeper through the story. And also we'll be covering Gethsemane and what is happening there, who is involved in the story in the Gethsemane. Also, we'll be covering where Jesus was left behind by all the disciples. And we'll be covering more deeper throughout the study. And then the last but not least, we'll be covering one of the founding of the church. And, you know, we can learn so many good lessons from this person where the journey of faith is not always on the top. So we will see how he was at the bottom of his journey of faith, and then throughout all his temptation. So let's start. The memory text is taken from Mark 14, verse 36. You can follow from your Bible. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me, nevertheless, not but what I will, but what you will." So this is one of the key word of the Word of God from Mark chapter 14. And when we turn to Sunday's lesson, we will see that there was unforgettable things that happened to Jesus. What are the unforgettable things? And we will see two contrasting stories, and also main characters that plays that role in Sunday's lesson. Now, the three main characters that mention in these stories are the priest and the scribes. Yeah, the priest and the scribes, and you can see on that Sunday's lesson. And then the second characters that play a role here, also the unidentified woman. And the third one is the disciples, which is pointing out more to Judas Iscariot. So what's happening with the priests and the scribes, also known as the religious leaders? So with the priests and the scribes, they are willing to pay considerable amount of money to put Jesus to death. And the Sunday lesson is taken from Mark chapter 14, verse 1 to 11. And the religious leader here is talking a plot to kill Jesus. Can you imagine? The religious leaders are talking about a plot to kill Jesus. Chapter 1 says, "After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And you can see they are planning a plot against Jesus. He's going to be harming him. So the priest and the scribes, they are willing to pay a considerable amount of money to put Jesus to death. And you can see in also chapter 11, it says here, "And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him." So you can see verse 1 and verse 11, it says that, promised to give him money. So that's the priest and also the scribes. Also the religious leaders paid people to seize Jesus. And let's turn to chapter 14, verse 43. "And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with sword and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders." So you can see they are planning a plot together. The religious leader paid people to seize Jesus. And we can also see the first characters here, priests and the scribes, they are behind people who were giving false testimony against him. And as you can see, when we're reading verse 1 through 11, we can see that they are behind all people who are giving a false testimony. So you can see verse 56, you can see that "for many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies all did not match, did not agree." So the first character that's mentioning in Sunday's lesson is that the priest and the scribes, they are planning to harm Jesus. And what about the second characters at play here? The second characters are the unidentified woman. And we can see that Mark did not mention about the actual names of the woman here. However, this woman, the second character, willing to spend a lot of amount of money to anoint Jesus' head and feet, right? So, and also in the lesson, it's mentioned that it's equal to 300 denarii. So that's 300 denarii is basically equals to 1 year of salary. So you can imagine 1 year of salary. I don't know how much you are making. Let's say you are making $5,000 a month. Multiply by 12, that would be $60,000 on equal US dollar. If you are making $5,000 a month, $60,000 amount of oil to anoint Jesus' head. Would you be willing to do that? You don't need to answer it, but this woman is willing to spend that amount of money. That's probably equal to one of those fancy cars nowadays, right? Fancy cars, and then you oil Jesus' head and feet. She's willing to do that, and she did. However, what was the response? Well, we'll mention that in a little bit. So this woman willing to pay that amount of money, 300 denarii equals to 1 year of salary. And she's probably working so hard for that to gain that money. And remember, this is her personal capital. This is her money. She does not having any foundations or any funds, trust fund or whatsoever, personal money that she gained through her hard work. She spent that to oil Jesus' head. You can see how she sacrificed for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third one, the third character at play in this lesson is that the disciple himself, the disciples. And in terms of this disciple, more focusing about Judas Iscariot. So Judas, the disciples, is willing to what? Is making a bargain to get paid to set up Jesus, to capture Jesus. Now, in this story, Judas, it does not mention in the book of Mark. However, when we look back in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Matthew 26, 15, it says that What are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And they set out for him 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. And that's 30 pieces of silver in the age of the Greek age is equal, yeah, when we calculate it, it's equal to 120 denarii. 120. Now we see at one hand a woman willing to sacrifice how much money? 300 denarii. And while Judas is asking a price to set up Jesus for 120 denarii, and he hasn't get paid yet, but he's bargaining, give me that much money and I will set up to capture Jesus. I will give the sign. 30 silvers or equals 120 denarii. Just imagine that comparison. Positive, you know, debit, you know, plus money given by the woman to anoint Jesus' head equals 1 year salary versus one disciples willing to get paid 120 denarii just to set up Jesus. Now we can see that in contrast with these two stories is that this woman has an amazing gift to Jesus. And at the other side of the story, Judas betraying Jesus himself. And then in the other side of the story, the woman was not named. It's called unnamed. While in the other side of the story, Judas was one of the 12. One of the 12. He's popular, right? In the Bible, the woman was not named. But Judas was one of the 12. And the other side of the story, this woman gives value is listed, which is, we already mentioned, about a year's salary. However, on the other side of the story, Judas only willing to set up Jesus with a promise of money. A promise. We saw that in Matthew that he says that, Matthew 26, verse 15, what are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And then they set up with 30 pieces of silver, which is equal 120 denarii. So, brothers and sisters, what can we learn from here? You may be sitting in a position where you are at the top leadership at a company. However, when you see Jesus as a threat to your position, what will you do? Will you do planning a plot and harm to that person? You maybe have in important roles in the church. I'm not pointing up, I'm not stepping on us anyone's toes, but we're just taking a lesson from this story and still from the priest and the religious leaders of the church. Now, Jesus was a threat to their leadership, right? Jesus was a threat because why? Their teachings, their practices, their offering was at threat, right? And so they planning a plot to kill him. Now, when we learn the story, when we learn and take a lesson here, when we're sitting on the top position and an important role, when somebody is at the top and point in the ministry or in whatever their career, and your position is at threat, yeah, we can take a lesson here. Don't plan to plot against that person. Now, in the other side that we can learn is that the woman using personal money and value has a high value, and even though she was criticized, she doesn't care. She's still doing it. She is still proceed with anointing Jesus' head. And what we can learn from here is that maybe out there you are involved in a ministry, you can use your personal funds and personal capital to support God's work. Yeah? So, and then also the other side of the story, when we're talking about the disciples, what can we learn from here? You may be well known in our church, same like Judas was well known. He's one of the 12 disciples. Brothers and sisters, don't think all about profit and how to harm Jesus. You may want to think about in your mind, if there is an opportunity in the ministry, maybe I can gain something if I involve in it. So that's exactly same that's happening to Judas. Brothers and sisters, let's move on to the lesson Monday. Monday lesson talking about the Last Supper. Now, the Last Supper in Mark 14, verse 12, it notes that this is the first day of the unleavened bread. So the practices, the tradition at play at the time, the unleavened bread is happening for 7 days. So this is the first day of that 7 days. And now the practices, the tradition that's happening there was they are eating what? The Passover lamb. They're eating the Passover lamb. And also the tradition says that they are eating the bitter herbs. However, what did Jesus do here? He's instituting a new things happening. Yeah, a new things. He institutes a new memorial service. You know, if we read 14 verse 22 on the Monday's lesson, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took up the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." So brothers and sisters, God is instituting a new memorial service in the Last Supper. Instead from the tradition, he set up with a new tradition of unleavened bread and drinking of what? Unfermented wine. So with this situation, the Last Supper, God is giving us an example for our church nowadays. That's why we are practicing the Holy Communion, with that symbolizing the bread, symbolizing what? His body. And then also sealed with the blood of Jesus, and the cup represents this blood of Jesus. So when we're doing this, it's one of the church that says Holy Sacrament. Remember our church institute that, what are the sacraments in our church? Holy Sacrament, yeah, Communion, Baptism is one of the Holy Sacrament, and then what else? Foot washing, yeah, this is the foot washing. And so this is one of them. That's why it's called Holy Sacrament. It becomes a practice in our church. This is the background. Now, with this situation, the Last Supper is also taken back from the history, the exiting of the Israelite out of the bondage of sin in Egypt. Remember when Exodus 24, verse 8, Exodus 24, verse 8 says, "And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, 'This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words.'" So this is basically an independence from sin. That's the celebration that was taken up into the practices of the Last Supper. So, however, with this come in hand, Jesus predicts that his disciple will all abandon him. Yeah, Jesus predicts that his disciples will all abandon him. And he cited in Zechariah 13, verse 7, speaks about sword striking the shepherd. And who is the shepherd here? Jesus himself is the shepherd. And the ones that's scattered is the disciples, which is the sheep. Yeah, the sheep are scattered, which is the disciples themselves. We'll dig deeper on that lesson in a little bit. Now, what can we learn in times when we are promising God that we would do something, but we end up not doing this? Have we ever in a situation where, same like Peter, even though it fall, I will not. Remember what Peter says? Yeah. He argues that everyone else may fall away, but he will not fall away. But then end up what happened? Everyone abandoned him. Have we ever committed and make a commitment to God that, "God, I will sanctify the Sabbath," but then end up later on we're not sanctifying the Sabbath? Have we ever been committed to God? God, I will not commit into sin just for 1 week. Let's say one day. One day, Lord. But then you're not realizing you're doing something that is not according to what you promised to God. So what we can learn from Monday's lesson is that sometimes we may promise we will do something for the Lord, but we end up not following it. Let's move on to Tuesday's lesson. Yeah, the Tuesday's lesson, this is talking about the Gethsemane where Jesus was feeling anxious and troubled. In Tuesday's lesson, it's taken from Mark 14, verse 32 and 42. Now, earlier we see that in the Last Supper, it's happened in the wall of Jerusalem where they ate Passover meal. Now, at this time, Jesus is heading to Kidron Valley to a garden at the slope of Mount of Olives. Now, in the lesson, it says that Gethsemane means oil press. That means in somewhere in that area, there is an oil processing facility in that place. So now it's mentioned in this chapter that as Jesus entered the garden, he bring Peter, James, and also John with him. And as he entered deeper to the garden, he told them, stay here. And then he went, go deeper into the Gethsemane. And then from there, he prayed. And the prayer was the memory text. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Brothers and sisters, this is the record where Jesus himself is feeling anxious. How many of you feeling anxious about what's about to happening? We all do. We all do. Sometimes we worry about things that is not even happening. That's what anxiety is, right? But he knows that he's going to be facing the suffering. He knows what's going to happen. And yet, at the time, he's 100% human. Same like you and me. Feel sorrow, feel troubled, feeling scared. Don't we all feel the same way? Yeah. We all scared. We all scared. So Jesus is anxious before the big things happening. That's why he's praying that, Father, he knows God can do and take away the cups. Yeah. All things are possible for you, Abba, Father. And this Abba indicates the closeness of his relationship with his Father. He knows that the Father can take away the cup if God wants to. However, what did he say? Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Brothers and sisters, at the end of this story, what is the answer to the prayer? Did God answer the prayer and take the cup away? No. And we can learn from this lesson is that sometimes you have a prayer request to God. And seems like our prayer request, instead of a prayer request, quotation mark, it's a forcing request. Don't you feel like sometimes our prayer request is like forcing God to answer you? But in this lesson, God is wanting to remind us that when you pray, God, I currently live in an apartment right now. I want a big house. But thy will be done. Not what I will. God, I'm riding an old car right now. Can I have one of those fancy car like my neighbors? We want something. But then in the end, thy will be done. You know, God may say, no, that car is not good for you. Or maybe God will say, that house is not good for you. You have to. So sometimes our prayer answer is a no. But the lesson that we want to learn from Jesus is that whenever you submit prayer requests, always give it back to the Lord. Thy will be done. Same like the Lord's Prayer. God, I want to be active in church. Thy will be done. God, I want our church full with people. Thy will be done. So we're not forcing God to answer our prayer, but we're letting it all to God, the Almighty Father, to answer our prayer according to His grace. Amen. So these are one of the lessons that we can learn from Tuesday's lesson. So, and then also another lesson in this situation was that three times the disciples fell asleep, right? He was just asking a support from the disciples. And yet when he comes back, he saw them, he found them sleeping, falling asleep. Yeah, these are the important times for Jesus to get a support, right? What can we learn from here? Sometimes when you have a friendship with somebody, you only have a, you know, close with them during good times. But when they're having a hard time and difficult times, are you there for them? Same thing like the disciples. Jesus was like almost dying, he said. I'm troubled and sorrowful, almost dying. But the disciple, instead of what? Praying and stay awake, but they fell asleep. So what is this indicating? As a church, we may fall asleep when we are not doing the work of the Lord. Amen? Indicating the sleepiness in our church is same like in the book of Revelation, where we are not hot, we are not also cold, lukewarm. Yeah, we are not awake. As a church, as a family, we need to stay awake. Stay awake meaning we actively doing the work of the Lord. As a person, we may be sleeping, quotation mark, by doing what? Our spiritual fruit is not fruitful. We learn something from the church, we go out from the sanctuary, and then we take off the mask again, and we, our natural humanity comes back to life again. Somebody cuts you off in the lane, in the street, then your blood boils. Is that how it works? That's not how it works. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah? Love, long-suffering, everything. God wants you as a person to develop that, to work on that fruit of the Spirit, showing and reflecting Jesus Christ to everyone in your family, in your workplace, in the community. As a family, God wants you to be fruitful and not sleeping by doing active work. Maybe your child receiving a recognition and you recognize them. Good job, honey. Good job. You're achieving this. Or maybe as a church, we're not considered sleeping like the disciples by doing active work and testimony for everyone. So I hope we can learn something important from Tuesday's lesson, the Gethsemane. All right, let's turn to Wednesday. Wednesday lesson, leaving all to flee from Jesus. So this Wednesday lesson is talking about how Jesus was betrayed by his closest relatives, associates. We already talked about earlier that the disciples are not there for him at the time where he's needing support the most. Yeah. Jesus' closest associates betrayed him to his enemies. Now, in the Book of Desire of Ages, one of my favorite books, In page 716, you may read in the Wednesday lesson. I'll read from here. Judas had naturally a strong love for money. But he had not always been corrupt enough to do such a deed as this. He had fostered the evil spirit of avarice until it had become the ruling motive of his life. The love of mammon overbalanced his love for Christ. Through becoming the slave of one vice, he gave himself to Satan to be driven to any length in sin. This is such a powerful message from Spirit of Prophecy. So it says here, Judas is not always like that, but he let his heart overrule with these motives in his life. Yeah, it starts with one simple act, but then leads to another. And you know how the definition of a character is that, right? Character is that it repeats itself. You know, start from one thing, and then you repeat it again, you repeat it again, repeat it again, until it becomes part of you, becomes your lifestyle, right? So imagine if the one simple act that you are doing is against God's will, and then later on you are feeding it off, doing it again, before you know it, it will become your character. So in this case, he has a strong love for money, right? That's why earlier in the beginning, he make a bargain with the religious leaders how he can get certain amount of money to set up Jesus, to trap him. But he hasn't always liked that. But he let the motive of his heart overruled by the evil. And that's when he becomes doing such an action. So, brothers and sisters, these are one important things we can apply probably in our spiritual life, that maybe you have something that God does not want you to do in your life. Let's open our spiritual glasses, spiritual sensitivity, to self-examine ourselves, looking into a mirror. What did God doesn't want me to do in my life? Self-reflect. And through the Word of God that we're contemplating every day, God will point out that you should not be doing this, my child. And how are you handling that? Are you going to be shutting that down? Holy Spirit will speak to you. But if you're shutting that down, you will be doing unforgivable sin by making the Holy Spirit sad. So this is one of the examples that God wants us to learn from the life of Judas, that we should not be feeding off with whatever sinful act, a simple act will lead to another until it becomes and ruin and overrule your heart. Now, in this story, it's also mentioned that he seeks to hide his betrayal under the guise of friendship. Imagine that. When he's selling Jesus, he tries as much as he can so that the disciple doesn't know he did that in disguise. He's doing that in secrets. He's probably thinking Jesus doesn't know anything about this, that he make a bargain. But Jesus knows everything, right? And he's doing all of this, betraying Jesus in the cover of a friendship. So that's like more of a hypocrite, isn't it? Yeah, more of a hypocrite. You're trying to display that you're not doing bad, but yet you're betraying Jesus. You're betraying, you're doing bad things, but yet you're displaying as if you're wearing suit probably at church, or you look popular out there, and yet in your real life, you might be doing something not according to God's will. I hope I'm not pointing and stepping on someone's toe at this time. You might not like me. But the Word of God wants us to learn about this valuable lesson. Right? The will of God is coming to fulfillment, even as the will of man works to destroy the Messiah. So, no matter what happened, God is still going to be making this happen. So the disciples all flee, including Peter, who nevertheless will reappear later on in the story. And then also it's mentioned about a young man in this story, a young man who runs away naked. Yeah, a young man, instead of leaving all to follow Jesus, leaves all to flee from Jesus. So in this story, somebody is following Jesus from the far, from the distance, and then he's only covered by a sheet, and then he runs away naked. So in this situation, everybody leaving Jesus, including Peter, who says at the beginning he has the highest of his commitment, even the other disciples will fall, I will not. Imagine that. We may be at one point in our life that we are on top of our spiritual life, that we declare, God is with me. But then at one point, we maybe acted like Peter. Yeah? They all left Jesus, leaving Jesus, flee from Jesus. Brothers and sisters, well, let's turn to Thursday lesson. On the Thursday's lesson, the title says here, Who Are You? This is talking about Jesus being brought and tried to Sanhedrin. And this is the first part of his trial. And all this Thursday lesson is taken from Mark 14, verse 60 to 72. And we can see the two contrast story in this situation. We can see and compare back to back between what Jesus did and what Peter did. So in this story, Jesus brought to Sanhedrin the first part of his trial. And the leader is just trying to make an accusation against Jesus, and they're trying so hard to get the story stick in the same page, but nothing is happening. So in this story, we can see that there are six scenes that we can see from the Thursday's lesson. So we can see, and still pointing out about Peter's life. Now, Peter has an active role in the final chapters. He was among those commissioned to prepare the Passover. So remember the story of the Passover. Normally, he would send a few days of the disciples to get everything ready, like the Passover lamb and everything, getting everything ready. So, and then when the disciples come and Jesus comes for the Passover, everything is already set up and prepped. So now, Peter is one of them. Yeah, Peter is one of the commissioned to prepare the Passover. And we can see the reference that in chapter 14, verse 12 to 13. And then the second from Peter is that when Jesus foretold how his disciple would abandon him at his arrest, quotation mark, Peter repeatedly said insistently, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Yeah, he committed and he's made that statement. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. That was before. And that's the second of the scenes from Peter that we can see. And then the third that we can see is that Peter could not fulfill Jesus' request to keep watching and praying. Remember when Jesus going to the Gethsemane, he brought up three disciples, and Peter is one of them. And one of his instruction is that to stay awake, keep watching and praying. He could not follow that. Right? That's Peter. And then the fourth one, Peter is also intervene on Jesus' behalf in violence actions, where he cuts off the right ear of the high priest's servants. And that's from John 18, verse 10. So he's the one who drew the sword and cut off the ears of the chief priest's servants. Yeah, his blood was boiling. Oh, he cuts off. So he's one of them. That's Peter. It's recorded as Peter. That's the fourth one. And then also the fifth, Peter followed Jesus at a distance. And we can see in verse 54, after Jesus was captured, he's following him from the distance. He's like, oh, Jesus is right there. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to see what's going on. So Peter following Jesus at a distance, he still want to keep up with what's going on with Jesus. And the six scenes that we can see from the life of Peter here is that he confronted by those who exposed him as one of Jesus' followers. And in reply, what did he say? He began to curse himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Verse 71, I don't know this man. He was confronted. Hey, aren't you the one? Are you with Jesus? I see you're talking to Galilean. Aren't you the one? And that's when he's starting cussing. He's denying. But you know what, brothers and sisters? When Jesus Jesus outside being tried and giving a faithful testimony, what happened? What did Peter do on the outside of the courtyard? He's denying. You can see the contrast story here is really not according to what he said earlier. Even the other disciples fall away. I will not. But then as Jesus is tried outside, inside, Peter was giving a false testimony, a lying report. We can see that. Brothers and sisters, at one point of life, we may be coming like Peter, character here. Yeah. We may be Peter's, the millennial Peter's nowadays. We may have declared our faith is so high, we are doing this, we return the tithe, I pay the offering, I support, I help the work of the Lord, I do everything for the Lord. But then at one point, you're denying Jesus. In what action are you denying Jesus, just like Peter did? In our days, we may be denying Jesus Christ by not living our life to the fullest like Jesus Christ. Amen. We may be going to church every Sabbath following morning and evening worship, but when you are not following and doing exactly what Jesus wants you to do and reflect Jesus, you are same like what Peter did, giving a false testimony. Right? So let's self-contemplate this so that we may not become like Peter, the millennial Peter. Millennium Peter, doing the same mistakes that he's doing. We may be following and keeping up like what Peter did while Jesus was captured. We're following from the distance. I want to see what's going on. At one point, we declare. We may be shining star at one point in our religious life. But then at the other point, we're denying him. We're lying to him. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to learn about these important lessons from lesson number 11. Now, how can we avoid this? That's the question. To avoid this instability of character, Jesus advised us. Remember when Jesus advised, when he's praying in the garden, in the Gethsemane? Keep watching and praying. Keep watching and praying so that you will not come into temptation. That's Mark 14, verse 38. So, brother and sister, this is a valuable lesson that God wants us to learn this Sabbath. So, Peter eventually becomes what? The foundation of the church. Yeah. His life used to be at the bottom, but then he got back up again. So hopefully this is another lesson for us that we may be in the bottom of our spiritual life, but God has a plan for you if you are surrendered, keep watching and praying, God will pick you up. You will be the maybe foundation of the church again in the future. Brothers and sisters, we have learned from unforgettable things that people did to Jesus, the priests and the scribes, the woman who sacrificed everything, and then also the disciples, Judas, who betray him. And also the Last Supper that Jesus institutes for us to follow. And then in the Gethsemane, when we are praying, God wants us to surrender completely to him instead of forcing God to answer our prayer. And in Wednesday lesson, God was left behind. Let's not leave God. No matter what happened in our lives, triggers and everything, let's stick with Jesus, right? You may be experiencing hardship in your life. Don't leave Jesus, just like in the Wednesday lesson. And then let us not also doing the same mistake as Peter did. But if you do happen to fall in the bottom of your spiritual life, let's get back up again, praying, and then also keep watching so that God will lift us. So I hope you have a blessed study this Sabbath, and we can apply in our lives, and those pearls of truth may fall into our hearts, and we pray that our hearts become a fertilized soil so those seeds can be growing and have a strong root, and that it'll be fruitful. God will be reflected in your personal life. And if you have requests with these lessons, you can call us at 916-457-6511 and then mention about the offer C202437. Or you can also email us at csh@saccentral.org and tell us more about yourself, your address, and we will be happy, our team will be happy to send you the CD as well as the DVD for these lessons. I hope you are having a blessed Sabbath. God bless you.